We start out with a scripture, Proverbs 11 and 13. And it says, a tale bearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Our first paragraph here in our lesson gives us a few examples of the meaning of a bearer. Talked about a ring bearer. We've all seen that in weddings and that type of thing. A flag bearer or a standard bearer. When you see military marches and so forth, there's always someone that is elected to carry the flag. We see that when we look at military formations. Also a pallbearer. And it used to be back in the older days that there was a cover called a pall that covered the casket. Nowadays, the people that are pallbearers are usually the folk that help carry the casket to its resting place. And then there's the armor bearer, and we're given a scripture about the armor bearer. And the scripture we have is in Judges 9:54. And it talks about a gentleman by the name of Abimelech. And he is the son of Gideon. And there were 70 brothers of Abimelech. He was born from a concubine in Shechem, Gideon's concubine, but Gideon had a lot of wives as well, and he had 70 sons. And Abimelech, because he was the only one from that particular city, told him that they should vote for him. You remember that this is in the book of Judges, and Gideon is one of the judges that we read about. Abimelech went and killed all 70 of his brothers. 69, actually. One escaped, Joash. But he murdered his half-brothers, Gideon's son, so that he could be the king. And so he started working in the kingdom and destroying these people and those people and so forth and so forth. But he had, and it mentions here, that he had an armor bearer. And this is someone who carried the armor for the soldier because it weighed so much, and it weighed him down a little bit whenever he went into battle. And so he had someone that along with a companion that carried his armor. And in Abimelech's case, a woman threw a rock down on top of his head, and he didn't want to be known as being killed by a woman. And so what does he do? He tells his armor bearer to kill him with his sword, and that's exactly what he did. Now, we see examples of this throughout, especially the Old Testament, about armor bearers. David, we know, had an armor bearer. We know that Saul had an armor bearer. David, a number of soldiers, and Goliath, remember him? He had an armor bearer, a guy that carried it. He had to be a big guy in himself just to carry that stuff. Anyway, a tale bearer, however, just a completely different animal, isn't it? Person who can't mind their own business. They're always looking to gossip, peddle gossip, tattle on others. Busybody, we've heard that. Someone who can't contain themselves, they're so anxious to tell tales, and it doesn't make any difference whether it's true or false. But they get a delight, this kind of an odd delight in telling the tales on others. Haven't we all known people like that? You just can't wait to get the information out there. Should we reveal private thoughts, private matters to begin with? Kind of hard to pick out sometimes those who will share your confidence and keep it private. So how do you choose? How do you determine who is capable of keeping your comments or your thoughts private, and or the one who doesn't? How do you determine that? Anybody got any suggestions? Kind of a difficult choices, aren't they?
Pick somebody that you have to know that person for a while. Not somebody you just met.
Yeah, you'd have to, that would be your best bet, wouldn't it? Just not divulge any things you don't want out there. And if you need to talk to somebody about something private, then make sure it's a person that you have confidence in, a person that's going to keep that private. And if you've known that person, you've had confidence in that person in the past, you've known them for a while, you know, chances are you're going to have someone who can keep a secret. But you know, it's really difficult. James 3:1-12 talks about the problems with talebearers. He says we put bridles into the mouth of horses. And when we do that, we can control the movements of that horse. Talks about ships in the ocean, on the sea, great ships that are pushed by the wind. And yet a very small portion of that ship, the rudder, controls which direction that ship goes, however the captain wants it to proceed. The tongue, now, a little different story. It's just a small member of our bodies, and yet it can boast great things, and it can start a small fire which becomes a raging inferno. For every kind of beast there is, every fish, every fowl in the air, all the sea creatures, serpents have been tamed by mankind. But the tongue, no man can tame. James says it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. What kind of qualities make a person more likely to be a gossip? What type of person were they, Jed?
Those who have not by experience learned to control that tongue. No one's going to be able to tame it, but there is such a thing as keeping your mouth shut. And that takes experience. Many people don't know how to do it.
Yeah, a lot of people have not learned how to do it. Did I see someone else's hand? Carol?
Well, they talked about women who are widows and not having too much idle time. And so if you're not busy and doing things, you can end up having too much time to wag the tongue.
Yeah, they talk about that in the New Testament, don't they? I've forgotten where that's at. I started to look it up, and I had forgotten. My mind went somewhere else. But you know what? Something kind of interesting. When we think about gossips, what do we think about first? Women? We think about women being gossips, don't we? I mean, I don't know if that's a natural tendency or not. I'm probably going to get into trouble with it. But, you know, actually, when I went online and was studying a little bit about this, they've actually done some studies, and it says women, as a rule, 56% of them gossip. That's a bunch. But what surprised me was 72% of the men gossiped. And that was kind of a staggering figure. That made me feel pretty poor. I couldn't blame my wife for anything after that. You know, so I just had to take credit for myself. But that was a surprising statistic that I ran across. But anyway, you know, what about insecurity? You know, someone doesn't have secure, don't feel secure. So they maybe have a tendency of making themselves feel better. And so they gossip a little bit. Maybe they're jealous of others. See someone else. They have low self-esteem. And it fits in with that insecurity. And maybe they have anger anger at the world in general. And so, you know, they feel that they have a need to gossip. Too much idle time, like Carol mentioned just a moment ago. They love rumors, called rumor mongers, which is kind of an interesting word. Unhappy lives, attention seekers. We've run across those folk before. Being in the know makes them feel important. These are all kind of, you know, how do you pick those people out? Well, maybe get burned a little bit, and you learn pretty quick who you can trust and who you can't. Yes, Kip.
You know, eventually people prove themselves to be trustworthy or not. And so I think part of it is you have to start to know one another. You think about a church family. You have to know one another. I got some insights into Andrew this morning. He was very transparent. He trusted us with something that was very heavy on his heart, which I think was very appropriate. And I think that we need to be able to do that with one another and trust each other with those kinds of things. So eventually people will prove to whether or not they're trustworthy. So I think it kind of goes with what Ted said, with sort of exercising the tongue, kind of learning how to do it. James says in 3:9, he says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. And I think the more mature we are and the more we exercise having praise on our tongue rather than curses on our tongue, we will have more discretion. You know, how many of us have blurted something out and then as soon as try to catch the words to bring it back in, like, oh boy, did I say that out loud, really?
Yeah.
So every one of us has done it. I'd like to think of myself as a trustworthy person, but it comes with a lot of practice and a lot of work, and sometimes I've messed up. Sometimes I've blurted out things that I shouldn't have. I've spoken out of turn. I've carried someone else's secret. You talked about being a bearer. I think that's, I like your version. Mine says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. I like that. Your version that has a bearer of this secret, because people will carry something with them and bear it like an armor bearer or something, and then look for every opportunity to exercise it or some opportunity. And we we shouldn't be doing it no. with other people's business.
No. It's tough because sometimes you have secrets like that or confidential information that you don't want. But somebody's confided in you, perhaps, and it puts a burden on you to stay, to keep that confidential. As far as Andrew was concerned, I wanted to compliment him on the comments that he made this morning. I thought they were very appropriate, and I think all of us have been there before. And, it's sometimes we take the cross just, you know, and the Lord's Supper for granted. And we really don't push aside the cares of the world and concentrate on what God and Jesus did for us. Carol.
One of the things that happens, I think, to at least happens to me, is you'll be talking to somebody about newsy things that have been happening, like Eileen's tree coming down and who has power and whatever. And then all of a sudden it slips and you do something that you shouldn't have said. I mean, because you were just being newsy and just going through, well, this and that and the other thing, and you just happened to pull this other up. And so it doesn't even have to be malicious. But we still have to rein ourselves in.
Absolutely. And it's tough to all to Well, it's really, I know you have to be on your guard all the time about what you say, but it's hard to look ahead. Well, I'm going to say this 2 or 3 minutes from now. You can't do that, can you? You can't look ahead to what you're going to say to someone just in the course of a conversation. But all it takes is one word, and just like a sword piercing somebody. And sometimes it does so much harm, there's just no way that you can heal that harm, even if you go to that person. And that's what we should do anyway, you know, is to go to that person and confront it. We know that Paul did that. Okay, let's look at the ways of tale bearing. And on your lesson today, it says careless communications. And sometimes people do get careless when talking and reveal secrets that they shouldn't. We understand that. And a lot of people can't wait to communicate with you their, you know, things about themselves. You really don't want to know. And how do you handle something like that? You'd prefer not to hear it. So how do you handle something like that? If someone wants to tell you some private things about themselves or what they've done, situations that you don't want to know about, you know, how do you handle that? Yeah, okay.
Well, again, I think we need to be transparent with one another. If we're in a family like this, a spiritual family, and someone is being that transparent and have chosen you to share that with, I have said to people, thank you for trusting me with that. Thank you for trusting me. I know that you poured your heart out. And then I pray with them, and we pray together. Because for somebody to unburden that way, they're trusting you with something. And I think that's really important, that we have to have that with each other. And sometimes we do need to be more guarded. There are some people that I choose not to share things with, and there are people that have proven trustworthy, or I value their judgment. I value their spiritual maturity and their wisdom. And I might be seeking telling them something and divulging something in my heart or in my life. And I need their counsel. I need their wisdom. I need prayers. I need them. I just need them. And I think that's really important that we offer that to
them. Yeah, and, you know, if you have someone, if you have someone that you can, you know, that's going to keep confident, which, you know, preachers get it all the time. I'm sure that that Dean gets private information that, you know, and what his opinions are and what the Bible has to say with certain things. People unload their cares and their fears and whatnot to a preacher just comes in handy. Part of his job, I guess. I don't know if that's in the job description for a minister, but a lot of people rely on what the minister is going to tell them. And so it's just kind of a natural procedure. I need to talk to you, by the way, then. But anyway, their intent when people, you know, communicate, they're, you know, it's unfortunate that just a few words can cause a lot of harm. Yes, Margaret.
I think it's a blessing when you have somebody in your life that you can kind of vent to sometimes that knows that you're just talking and will take it with a grain of salt because they know who you are and forgive you.
Yeah. Sometimes that's a little hard too. Yeah. I get in trouble with my wife and once in a while and I go off and pout and, you know, go off someplace and kind of think it out and then go back and apologize, you know, like, well, you know, but she's very understanding. So I appreciate that. But what about Sly insinuating something? Yeah, have you run across people like that? Sly people, you know, that's, you know, sly might be, you know, accidental, but it smacks to me of a deliberate effort to smear someone or tell a tale about someone. Just can't wait. But it's a deliberate attempt to malign someone. You know, maybe sneaky, like, oh, I shouldn't tell you this, but, or, just watch, you'll see. This is just between you and me. You ever heard that? Just between you and me, and pretty soon the whole world. I got fired from a job one time. The boss came to me and said, I understand that you've been actively soliciting employment elsewhere. And I had applied in confidence, I thought, for a salesman's position with another company. The pay was better, the time, the hours were better. And I thought it would be a better fit for me. I'd worked for this company for quite a few years. But somebody gave it away, and it cost me my job. I hadn't been hired by this other company. Hadn't even been interviewed by them yet. And yet they just couldn't hold their tongue. They called my office, my company office, and it cost me my job. So, you know, it's confidential information is pretty important stuff in it. What about confidential communication? Yes.
This is very interesting, and I'm glad you're teaching about this. I have felt burdened with not knowing how to handle many situations throughout my life. I'm sure you have too. I'm finding, you know, I would want to know when something happened with so and so. How can I, what should I say or do? And, you know, I made the wrong decisions back then. Hopefully I'm doing better now. The thing is that you must understand that the time for speaking is the time to keep silent. I said that in Proverbs. I can't quote where exactly, but this is saying that. But let's
also remembers that the Apostle Paul, he said that all of Asia had forsaken him. But he also said that Diotrephes had, what did he say? He didn't do much harm. I suppose there's more in there too that I don't know about. But we can, I wanted to have somebody to discuss this situation with. And it was very difficult because I didn't know what's the right way to go about it. But the thing is, we can discuss something with someone without using their name. If we don't use their name and we're careful that way, that can cure a bunch of it. But I was trying desperately to find somebody to teach me how to do this thing.
Yeah, those things, you know, it takes a little bit of experience. You get your fingers in there and get them singed a time or two, or somebody, you make a wrong comment from time to time and you get burned over that. It's pretty tough, you know, when you you can maliciously damage people and do it on purpose. Once you do that, you know, hey, you just can't heal it up, can you? When you're doing purpose on that. How about confidential communication?
So how many of us have a tagline on our email that says, this is confidential information. If I send it to you by mistake, delete it.
Yeah, right.
But I do think that in an era of facilitated communication, it's so easy to hit reply all, and we didn't mean to. So my guess is that this kind of thing happens a lot without any kind of mouse. We hit reply all. We didn't mean to spread information, but we accidentally did.
I remember back in, and I'm a little bit of a history buff, so maybe I pick up things, that maybe the average person might not, because of my interest in it. But during World War II, especially World War II is in my era, the Axis countries, Italy and Germany especially, even friendly countries for that matter, sent out spies. And they would sit in bars, and taverns, and restaurants, and they would just listen. And it was surprising how many secret things that they overheard and was revealed to them because somebody couldn't keep confidentiality. I think it was like 5 general officers that General Eisenhower sent home, demoted them and sent them back home because they couldn't keep their mouth shut about D-Day. They were out there going like this on information that could have cost hundreds of thousands of lives. And yet they couldn't keep their mouth shut, and they were demoted in rank and sent home in disgrace. Now, these are general officers that should have known better. So, you know, it goes to show you how important these things are can be. I mean, it's just amazing that you just have to know to be careful. That's all you can do. You just, you know, keep the confidential information, and that's tough. That is tough. What about open blabbing? That's one of the other points that is in our lesson. Now, it doesn't make, I mean, there's person that just can't wait. Boy, I mean, they're an open book, and I think it mentions it on the 6 o'clock news, you know, and there's people like that. But those types of people are pretty transparent. And you learn really quickly to not share any, unless you want it out. Then you can use them as a tool. But, and that happens as well. So, but, you know, there's, can somebody tell me the difference between gossip and slander? Is there a difference between the two?
Slander, defaming someone, it's to defame them, to injure them directly. Gossip can be just about.
That's right. Slandering is you, your effort to demean someone, to injure someone, you know, and gossip, like you say, is just, you know, everyday stuff. It doesn't have to be somebody that's deliberately trying to harm you. Yes, Carol.
Slander. With gossip, it may be something that happened, but with slander, that person really maybe even is manufacturing all of these things to put you in a bad light. So it's not even necessarily true. It's something that they're doing to get even with you.
Yeah. What does Scripture tell us about gossip and slander? Leviticus 19 and 16 is one of the sundry laws that were added to the Ten Commandments in Leviticus when they are talking about the result, about thou shalt not slander your brother. This is just one of the law of Moses. 2 Corinthians 12:20, and Paul worries there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances, and such when he returns again and they've not repented of their sins. That's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Thessalonians 3:11, and Paul again is warning the Thessalonians about undisciplined life, acting as busybody. Romans 1:29-32. This group of verses is included in all the previous paragraphs that Paul is talking about. The most wicked things that mankind was involved in, and this includes the gossipers and slanders that we've been talking about. 3 John 8:10 gives us an example of a gossip at work. John addresses his letter to Gaius, a fellow worker there in the church. John uses himself as an example of one who's not being treated well in his work. And he mentions a member of that congregation, a man who's trying to undermine his authority by spreading false charges against us. Diotrephes is speaking falsely in haste. John responds by saying, I will call attention to what he's doing when I get there. He's gossiping maliciously about us. We need to remember how we respond to people like this. Proverbs 20:22 says, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. How about those who can keep a secret? One who proves himself to be faithful and true. One who's trustworthy. They're few and far between. But we as Christians need to put on that armor, don't we? We need to be cautious about how we reply to others, how we listen to others, how we're going to keep that confidentiality they're hoping for. You might even say, well, do you mind if I tell somebody else? Or maybe, well, you don't want me to say that, I won't say anything. But you got to be serious about this. You can't go around and spreading tales. And I think that we as Christians, we know that. But we still need to be cautious and bridle our tongue, which is the most evil part of our body. Okay. Thank you so much for your comments. And be sure and pick up a sheet for next week.
Pearls and pigs.
I'm sorry?
Pearls and pigs next week.
Okay. Did everybody hear that about pigs? I was talking to Richard Henry the other day. And they're into pigs big time. I think his son-in-law and daughter and son-in-law have show pigs. I mean, they take these silly things all over the country. And he was telling me the other day that he was in the pig pen. He said, boy, I was a mess. So you can mention that next week about pigs. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it very much. You're really very kind.